Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started.
This is episode number 21. Normally, each episode is with a successful sport horse breeder. But in this case, this is a special episode dedicated to New Zealand. A number of months ago, I was contacted by an unknown number from New Zealand, which I originally thought was a scam call. And for some bizarre reason, I decided to answer it. And on the end of the phone was a breeder in New Zealand called Ewan McIntosh. Ewan had just listened to Big Talk for Breeders, and it had given him the motivation to reach for the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and to call me. Initially, Ewan asked if I'd be willing to come to New Zealand, and I think that I thought the guy was crazy. And I had initially said no, it just didn't feel like the right thing to do or the right time to do it. But we kept in touch and had several different great conversations over the coming weeks and months. And in one conversation, Ewan mentioned that he felt there was a need for the industry in New Zealand to hire someone like a breeding manager. He then went on to talk about Sweden and the success Sweden had had, especially in relation to the Olympic Games, and how, as he put it, they had really stuck it to the bigger nations. And he was talking about how they had built that success and that he felt they needed a breeding manager that would come out and guide their industry in terms of putting some structure in place. As he was talking, I was smiling away to myself because I had the exact person in mind. Roll back to May 2021. I got contacted out of the blue by another person. I got an email from Sweden from Emma Thorian Helston, who then was the breeding manager for the Swedish Warmblood Studbook. And together with her co-host Gustav, they hosted the Swedish Warmblood's own podcast, and Emma had asked me to come on and to be their first international guest. That went very well. It led to us keeping in touch, and in the spring of 2022, Emma found herself coming to Ireland for another job, having left the Swedish Warmblood Studbook to work for herself. Emma had wanted to know if it was possible to come and see some of my breeders groups in action. And I suggested that Emma actually be the speaker at that meeting. So together we hosted an event for those that are listening from Ireland in Port Laois in Ireland, where I brought together the five groups. We did a combination of playing with the Big Talk card theme, and then Emma gave an excellent talk to a captivated group of Irish breeders. So as Ewan was talking about trying to do something in New Zealand, a breeding manager trying to pull things together in New Zealand, I thought this was the perfect opportunity where the two of us could come out, myself and Emma, travel out to New Zealand and try to do something similar to what we had done in Ireland. I think Ewan thought all his Christmases had come at once and was very eager about the prospect of this happening. But it was still all a far-fetched idea at that time. But over the coming weeks, it all started to get more and more real. Ewan pulled in the support of Penny Tapley, and together they put together a very comprehensive itinerary of how our trip to New Zealand was going to go. The itinerary that Ewan and Penny had put together was a mix of visits to individual breeders and also two group meetings where New Zealand breeders came together. When we visited each breeder, we tried to take some time to go through a questionnaire with them to get a feel for where they were at, where they were trying to go, and what were the areas that they felt that they needed the most help with. Each night we stayed in a new place, and many of the nights we actually were hosted by some of the breeders that we visited. Because we had extra time, with the breeders that we stayed with, we took the opportunity to record a few minutes of an interview with them to get a bit of an introduction, what their breeding goal was, and to see what were the things that they felt were important for the industry in New Zealand to establish or to put in place. In this episode, you're going to hear a snippet from each of the breeders who hosted us throughout our trip. We're first going to begin with Ewan McIntosh as the initiator of the whole trip. We're going to talk about Ewan's motivation for putting this together, his reflections on how it went, and a little bit about his own aspirations for his own breeding program. Just to get things started, can you give us your own name, the name of your farm, and where you're located?
I'm Ewan McIntosh. I'm living in Taupo, just out of Taupo Township, on a 150 acre, which is about a 65 hectare farm. And the name of my breeding operation is called Lake Taupo Holsteiners, but most people refer to it as LT Holst, which is my prefix, but I'm more known as LT Holst than Lake Taupo Holsteiners.
From what we saw there, it's as much a two-person operation as it is one. So who's your current right-hand woman in your in your horse enterprise?
I'm really pleased, Jarset, because it's Stephanie Gregory, and Steph's been with me a bit over a year, and I'd be lost without her now. You know, we've become good friends, but also we work really well together. We bounce ideas off each other. She's extremely good with the horses. What I think sets her apart is she really cares. You know, cares about what she does for me, cares about the horses, my family, our children, especially our two daughters have become very close. And yeah, she's like a second mum to my youngest daughter now.
Super. When did you start breeding horses? Like how long has it been since you bred your first foal?
Yeah, it would have to be 15 years ago, probably. What happened is I ended up buying a mare off my brother's estate, who passed away about 17 years ago. And I started breeding there, but I was also working with a dealer that we would buy horses and he'd get them going and then sell them on. But after a while, I leant more towards wanting to breed my own. And so we did a couple of trips or one trip together to Holstein. And then I've been back probably 7 or 8 times since.
In your breeding endeavors at the moment, what's the ultimate breeding goal, or what's the one thing that you want to achieve in all the days that you'll be breeding horses?
I believe if one person can breed a top horse, well, I can. And so I'd like to breed top horses. As much for personal satisfaction. But you know, like, pretty patriotic, and you know, I'd love to see New Zealand do well actually in show jumping. You know, sort of come from right out of nothing. Well, I'm not saying nothing, but you know, it'd be good to be up near the podium or on the podium at some stage. And it might take 20 years to do, but I think it's doable. And you know, like, I'm also just conscious of the fact that I am getting older, and at some stage, you know, and I'm hoping it's at least 20 years away, that I would probably look at getting out. And so hopefully there'll be a reward at the end for it. And to me, to be able to sell them well, they need to be good. They need to be sought after.
But looking at the results you already have, it looks like they are already sought after and they are already successful. I think, and I mentioned this to you previously, but it looks like the strike rate that you've had so far has been quite good.
Yeah, a guy in Holstein told me once, do your best and then hope for a lot of luck. And I'm just wondering what I've had the most of. Or what's the most responsible, the luck or the good management?
So I want to roll it back a few months, because as we would have discussed on the trip, but for those that are listening that won't have heard this, back in the spring during lambing season here on the farm, I got a call from a strange New Zealand number. And like many people, you get a lot of spam calls with international numbers and tend not to answer them. But for some reason, after a bit of hesitation, I reluctantly answered the call to find Ewan on the end of the line. Mm-hmm. So Ewan, will you actually just roll back to that point? And what I'd like to know is, why did you make that first call?
Well, I'd already listened to three or four podcasts, and I didn't know whether you would know the answers, but I did know that you would know where to find the answers. I'd worked that out. And from you having talked to up to 20 people, because I knew there was 20-odd podcasts, and I knew that you would know where to find an answer. And I've always been very good at approaching people to help. I've never, ever been shy about asking people to help. When I was young and learning to shear, I would ring all the best shearers and ask if I could go and watch them for a day or work for them for nothing, and you know, just so that I could learn to do that job as well as I could, you know, and learn as much off them. When I was in Holstein the first time, I asked Hanno Conker if I could go and stay with them. You know, didn't even know him, but I asked him, if I come back next year, could I stay for a couple of days? And so I've never been shy at asking people, as you've probably found out.
Definitely. Through the various conversations then, it led us to a discussion a few months later where you felt that New Zealand needed some type of a breeding manager or some, I guess, industry expert that could guide you as a country or as an industry in the right direction in terms of the structures, which led to Emma coming into the picture and the suggestion that the two of us would travel out to New Zealand together. When that plan was set in place, what were your main objectives? Like, what were you hoping to achieve on that trip or from that trip?
Well, it's something that I think we have achieved, and that was getting everybody to think that we can breed better. And I'm not saying that people weren't already thinking that, but we've got to do it as a group. You know, we've got to help each other. We've got to support each other. We've got to be pleased for each other's successes, because we can't do it on our own. And, you know, like, two particular cases I can talk about is when I first met Warwick Hansen, he just shared as much knowledge with me as he could. Jenny McIntyre, I never hesitate to ring her and ask her things, because she's just a fanatic on watching Clip My Horse and things like that. And I don't believe it's just breeders that we've all got to work together with. I think right from the handler, the breaker, the producer, the farrier, right through, you know, like management, you know, administration, we've all got to be on the same thinking. And I believe we can. And at one stage I talked to Emma about it, and she said that, you know, there's a lot of bumps on the road, but there's no reason why we can't go over some of those bumps without touching them, you know, because of the knowledge that we have gained from you two.
I'm going to go two directions with this. What were your highlights from the trip? And then what were the things that surprised you the most? We'll start with highlights.
I'll put it another way. I missed you two like buggery when you left. It was almost withdrawal symptoms, to be completely bloody honest. So you two were definitely the highlight to me. You know, the selflessness that you gave your knowledge and way you embrace people, talk to people, you know, and like the humility around it. But that was also coupled with the people, the New Zealand breeders that I've never met, you know, and the relationships that I know that we're going to all have, and just hopefully that we're, you know, the majority of people will actually embrace what I think I am thinking, but I think most of them are all thinking that too, that we'd like to really have a good crack at Brisbane. But me personally, I see that as a passing through point. And, you know, I think 36 and 40 are the ones that we will really be going after, that it'll really come to fruition. And those horses will be bred over the next 8 to 10 years. You know, for us, say a 12-year-old at the 40s will be born in 2028. So we've got a bit of learning to do, and quite quickly.
And I think from our perspective, what was great was when we started having the initial chats with yourself and then with Penny as well, that in terms of how many people you were expecting to register for each event versus how many that turned up, and maybe how they turned up as well. For me, that was a very pleasant surprise for all of us.
Yeah. You know, hey, you always hope for a good attendance, and it certainly wasn't guaranteed. Like, you two were a complete unknown, and they, you know, just the way they just came on and embraced it, you know, and what it actually told me is that they are just thirsty for knowledge. You know, and they just can drink it up. Everyone is like I am, and even established breeders. And, you know, like to hear someone like Warwick Hansen say to me, he said, it was so good. I got a lot out of it, you know, and it's could lead on to some really good things.
What was nice was there are people that we met that really know their horses and have had a lot of success either in breeding or in the sport already. And this might be similar for yourself. I think you mentioned something similar when you first hit on the podcast. A few people were at a point where they were really questioning where they were going or if they were going forward, because everyone was operating in isolation. And I think people were kind of struggling with that because there was nobody really maybe encouraging them or helping them through difficult moments. Like in your own breeding program, when, you know, when you lost your good youngster, and you start to wonder why we're doing this. But I think that network has been created now, or that support group, as we were saying, I think it was to Gareth Dunkley, like we needed to create like an AA for breeders somewhere that they can go together and help each other through those difficult times.
Yeah. I think so. I heard a great saying the other day, a breeder, and he said, you never commit suicide when there's an untried 2-year-old in the paddock. Oh, shit. it was a great philosophy, actually. You know, and there's always hope there, isn't there?
Definitely. And for me, what has been great is the fact that we got home to our respective homes on Saturday, and by Monday I was already on the phone to you, and you were telling me about the next idea for a barbecue that you were going to host at your place. You had a speaker in mind, so it wasn't even a week that we're home and you're already planning the next event. And I'm sure you're not, while you have been the driving force of this trip, I would imagine that it's really got people thinking about what they can do either for themselves or in their own area.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and like, I'd just like to mention Penny and Mike Tapley here, you know, like, they just got right in beside me and supported and, you know, and did a lot of grunt work, you know, heavy work. Like Penny organised the most of the South Island stuff and that. And I just couldn't see myself really wanting to do this without, you know, her and Mike's support, you know, and it just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. And I think also, from the likes of Penny's link with Equestrian Sport New Zealand and how that relationship probably has developed for all of you over the trip, I think that's crucial, because it's not just a few breeders trying to do it by themselves. I felt through our interactions with Julian and Linda in Equestrian Sport New Zealand that there's a genuine commitment to putting their shoulder to the wheel with you guys.
It's certainly looking that way. And like, I think they, with their leadership, we, you know, could go forward a lot easier than without it. No, I'm sure we're heading in the right direction with them, and it'll be great if we keep that support from them, which I can't see why we wouldn't.
It was on a similar theme. If we rolled on 10 or so years in the industry in New Zealand, what changes are you hoping that we're going to be seeing, or what are things going to look like for a dedicated or focused breeder in New Zealand? How's the picture going to have changed in the next decade?
Well, how I see it is that everything is a process, and it's just taking small steps and a step every year up the ladder. You know, and if we improve, say, 10% every year, well, in 10 years, we're actually twice as good as we are now. And I keep going back to the fact that if we do it properly and with the support of, you know, like yourself and Emma and perhaps others and that, we can do this. Like, we can breed international horses that are sought by international people. Not that I, of course, I'd sell to them, but I also want to make, like, I'd sooner that, especially the mares stay here, you know, like I think this fantastic place to have high quality mares.
Yeah, I think we both agree.
Horses.
Knowing what you know now, if you could go back and advise yourself when you were starting off in your breeding program, what do you wish you knew then? Or what advice would you give to yourself? Or what things would you change? How would you approach it all differently?
That's actually a really good question, because going back 10 years, I had probably surplus finance. And, you know, I could afford to spend a bit here and there. And if it didn't work out, it didn't really matter too much. But, you know, not because of horses, but other circumstances, you know, like, there's not the cash around now. And if I had my opportunity to go back, I would try and act like I didn't have any money, and I had to use my brains, and I had to actually gain knowledge. And I've said this before, that I'm really envious of people who are just starting out in New Zealand now, or young breeders who aren't too far into it. They now have a platform to gain that knowledge from, like yourself and Emma. And just foolish if they don't use it. And, you know, and even coming to people like myself to find out where the rabbit holes are, you know, like, there'd be just, there's things I can tell them, there's things that all of us, you know, sort of who are in this group could help young breeders, and I'm more than happy to, you know, and they just need to come and ask. And also, you've got to find people that you can really trust, you know, that will give it to you straight and be honest, you know, like when you're going to buy a horse that the horse is actually worth buying. That's what I'd do. Although, to be fair, I did have, you know, like I did buy some good horses.
And I think that's evident in the results that you've had.
It wasn't all good management. It was me a bit of good luck. But hey, I'll take it.
I think this is a nice point to introduce my co-host for this episode. An official welcome to Big Talk for Breeders, Emma.
Thank you, Michael. It's nice to be on your podcast finally. Kind of ties the circle together from where it started, where we got you on the Swedish Warm Blood podcast, and look at what happened. Now I'm finally in Big Talk for Breeders.
It's very strange to think from the initial call with Ewan, which seemed like such a far-fetched idea, that we're now sitting down reflecting on a trip that actually feels like a dream.
Yeah, I totally agree. We met so many breeders. We got very inspired by all the interesting conversations we had with the breeders. And now you're going to get the opportunity to hear from some of them. We flew into Auckland, the largest city in New Zealand, where Ewan collected us. And Ewan took us to Wendy and Richard Kell at Mount View Sport Horses, which is near Tauranga on the east coast of the North Island. That's called the Bay of Plenty area. Mount View Sport Horses is currently the highest ranked New Zealand breeder on the Hippomundo breeder ranking. And Wendy Cadell is working with rider Dan Blundell to produce her young horses, and Mackenzie Parker helping out with both riding and stable work. That was a lovely start of the trip, and I think it kind of set the tone for the rest of it.
I had somewhat of an unfortunate start to the trip in that I felt a cold coming on as we were traveling to New Zealand, and having flown to the other side of the world to spend the guts of 2 weeks talking to breeders, I lost my voice on the very first day.
That was very unfortunate, yeah.
So for the first two mini interviews with the breeders, you'll be hearing Emma introduce the questions for those. And then for the remaining snippets, it will be myself.
For the purpose of the recording, can you please give us your name, your business name, and your location in New Zealand?
Wendy Cadell, Mount View Sport Horses, and it's based in Tauranga, New Zealand, or Bay of Plenty, New Zealand.
Okay, so who does your team consist of at the moment?
We have Daniel Blundell, who rides in the competitions and is based in Auckland. Here on the home team, we have Teresa Weck and Mackenzie Parker. They manage the young horses and ride the young horses, and we also have McKenna Parker, who helps with the stud work.
Right. So what's the main goal with your breeding program?
I think we aim to breed a top quality horse, one that has been well brought up, that has good health, good riding ability, and good potential for the sport.
If you could change only one thing about the sport horse industry in New Zealand, what would that be, and why?
We need to grow a lot. We all have the right idea and we all have the same passion to go forward in the sport, but we need the basics to be looked at. With the young horses are getting more valuable here. Mm. People are breeding quality horses. So we need good footings to jump on, we need very good courses set, and good training. Really, we definitely need coaching.
If you could go back and talk to your former self at the start of your breeding program, what advice would you give? Or what do you wish you knew at the start of your breeding program?
I think it's all who you meet to begin with. Mm. For us, we need to learn from the Northern Hemisphere. That's where the sport is very strong and the origin of it. It's our inspiration. So we need people that are sincere and very well experienced that can share that information with us, how to go about it. I think it's hard to answer that because nothing's perfect. You're always going to have problems along the way. And sometimes the problems give you the answer, you know, and you have to face yourself and say, yes, I really have to deal with this, you know, because you can let it go on. It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I like to do a job. Well, not a perfectionist, but I like excellence. I like if, like my kids, you know, that you commit to the job, you know, and I committed to this job. And I want to see it through and succeed. I want to finish on a good note, you know, on something that I'm satisfied with. I feel like we've succeeded a lot in what we've bred, but I need to know the sport more in terms of being wise about the journey, you know, I would like to be able to succeed with a horse rather than sell it and see it succeed, I suppose. But, you know, at the same time, you've got to balance the finances and it's got to earn its way as well. So I think that's the dilemma of a breeder, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. But we have got to the point where we could probably keep, you know, a few of the ones that we feel we believe in or we think it would get there, get to the top. I don't know. There's so many things that can happen.
The next morning, Wendy took us to meet with Gareth Dunkley. Gareth is a breeder, a vet, and a rider, and he runs Wallingford Equine in Matamata, not far from Cambridge. Cambridge is a town in New Zealand which is like a hub for horse breeding, especially thoroughbred breeding, but as Gareth Dunkley, there are also more of sport horse breeders around Cambridge.
For me, throughout the trip, New Zealand was somewhat of a home away from home. And I think that was definitely evident when we tried to sit down and do the breeder's questionnaire with Gareth. I think we had just about managed to sit down at the kitchen table when Gareth realized that his neighbor's dairy herd had escaped out onto the main road. So we took off running down the road to try and get these animals back in off the road. And it very much felt like home.
Next stop on our trip was the amazing facilities of Takapoto Estate, also situated in the Cambridge area. Takapoto Estate is owned and run by the Plaw family. And we met with Mitch and Michaela Plaw. We also met Jake Lambert and Kerry Willis, and we will hear from them in the interview coming up next. Takapoto Estate breed and produce sport horses for show jumping in cooperation with professional rider Alison Rowland. They have also created this fabulous showground for equestrian events. So it's so very thought through within every detail. And we were impressed to see this kind of facility so early on our journey.
It was amazing to see and learn all that the Plaw family were doing for the industry in New Zealand, both over the past few years as owners and supporters of a number of New Zealand's top riders, but also what they have privately put into developing Takapoto Estate to have available for the industry there. Mitch is a very driven and successful entrepreneur, and it's great to see him channeling that skill set into the sport horse world, because he's not just satisfied with being an owner or building a beautiful equestrian estate, but the Plaw family have recently bought another farm called Raffles, where they intend to develop a young rider training facility or training academy, which is just incredible. And I think once established, New Zealand will see the benefit of that for decades to come.
Yes, and as we will hear during a lot of the interviews we had, that the production and training of young horses is something that has to develop in New Zealand for New Zealand to become more successful as a sport horse producing nation.
So, for the purpose of this recording, can you please give us your own name, your business name, and your location?
Okay, I'm Kerry Willits. Business is Takapoto Estate Show Jumping. I am the facility manager. I look after the competition arenas and oversee some of the day-to-day horse stuff. Jake?
I'm Jake Lambert. I'm a rider for Takapoto Estate Equestrian. I'm responsible for overseeing the whole operation and an advisory role to the Plore family who own Takapoto Estate.
Right. So what is the main goal within your breeding program?
I think for us it's, although we're kind of young into our breeding program as such with the offspring, our eldest offspring now, 7 or so. I think for us it's to breed and develop horses for championships internationally. We've had the end goals being world championship and Olympics.
And along the way, producing nice horses, if they don't make it to our end goal, we want them to be saleable and produce well.
I think in an international market, not just domestically.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So if you could change only one thing about the sport horse industry in New Zealand, what would that be and why?
For me, I would get better facilities around the country, better venues for competing, because currently there is appalling facilities, lack of stables, poor footing, etc. So for me, that would improve everything. Even 3 new venues in the country would be awesome.
Yeah, I think for me, probably more from a rider's perspective, is more education around developing our riders as well. You know, I was fortunate enough to spend a lot of time in Europe, and I think developing our riders on an international scene is key, really, to our success. You know, we have to look further abroad than just New Zealand. So I think the education and development of our riders to be then able to produce horses is critical moving forward.
So if you could go back and talk to your former selves at the start of your breeding program, what advice would you give to yourselves, and what do you wish that you knew at the start of your breeding program?
I think for us it's a little bit difficult in the fact that both Kira and I have probably picked this up, the breeding side of things, you know, a little way down the track. So we weren't involved so much with the initial matings and breeding. So I think for us it's more looking forward, and I guess probably taking on more advice or exploring more external advice around matings and such as selection of stallions and mares moving forward is critical. And I think, you know, we relate that to what we do in business. You know, it never hurts to take a few opinions and then formulate your own.
I'd agree with that.
Mitch took us south to Ewan and Nan McIntosh at Lake Taupo Holsteiners, which is close to the town of Taupo and the famous Lake Taupo. And some trivia for you who perhaps want to go and see New Zealand. So go see Lake Taupo. It's a crater lake created by a super volcanic eruption which occurred approximately 25,000 years ago. So what used to be a mountain is now a lake. It's the largest lake by surface area in New Zealand. And at Ewan's, we had dinner with Jenny McIntyre and Karen Burnett. And it's kind of Jenny's fault that we ended up in New Zealand, Michael. She was the one who told Ewan to listen to your podcast.
And I think this is another good opportunity for us to make an apology to Jenny and Karen. Because at this stage in the trip, we were severely suffering from jet lag. And Jenny and Karen had made the effort to come over to Ewan's and Nin's to have dinner with us. And we were completely wrecked and had to go to bed early. So no doubt you'll be listening to this, Jenny and Karen. And if you are, apologies again.
We're sorry.
For such terrible company.
The day after, Ewan had arranged a breeders' event at his home, and it was attended by around 50 people, both breeders and industry representatives. We did give a talk there, and we'll get back to that event after our breeder interviews. But what was amazing, and we were surprised actually, was that there were so many breeders coming, because we did not anticipate that, perhaps because Ewan had lowered our expectations. But it was amazing to see all those breeders not only listening to us, but also interacting with each other. Because I think this is one of the main benefits of this trip, that breeders actually came together and started to create new networks, meeting other breeders, meeting representatives from the industry, and actually getting some new energy into them. After the event, we continued south on the North Island with Daniel and Chrissy Webb from Webb Show Jumping. And we went to their beautifully set farm in Hunterville. It's quite a dramatic landscape over there. And I got to see even more of it when I actually went riding with Daniel. That was an amazing experience to go riding in this. It's like from a fairy tale, the landscape over there.
While Emma and Daniel were out riding through the hills, I was in the comfort of the house with Chrissy and their rider, Hannah. Thankfully, though, Daniel was kind enough to bring myself and Emma back up through the hills again in their buggy, in their 4x4. And it was just amazing. It really gives you an insight into the size and scale of some of the farms there, where you're looking across hill after hill and the large headcount of sheep and cattle. And it was just such an incredible place. It gave us a real appreciation for the environment that some of the young horses are raised in and kept in. The horses are so fit and healthy. And a theme throughout a lot of the farms that we visited were that there were very few sheds in sight. You know, a lot of the animals can be kept out all year round.
Even the sheep are fit.
And it's definitely survival of the fittest when it comes to the sheep.
Yes.
For the purpose of the recording, can you please give us your own name, your business or farm name, and your location?
Daniel Webb. We trade under Webb Show Jumping. The farm name is Rangitane, and we are from Hunterville in central North Island.
Who does your team consist of at the moment?
We've got another show rider called Hannah Bognuda. We have a girl that looks after the stable when we're at shows, Brianna Wallace, and they both ride in school at home, myself and my wife Chrissy.
What is the main goal within your own breeding program?
Our main goal is to produce rideable horses with the hope of producing a top horse to compete at the highest level. But the horses that don't make it to the highest level, we can sell them to riders throughout New Zealand and Australia that are easily rideable.
And the horses that you do want to get to the highest level, just for those that are listening for the first time, your desire is that they get to the highest level with you riding them.
For sure. That's the whole reason we're doing it. And we do the whole process so that I know the horses well. And our goal is to compete at the highest level in the next 10 years.
If you could change one thing about the sport horse industry in New Zealand, what would it be and why?
Would have to be the production of our young horses. So I would like to see some sort of academy set up to produce our well-bred horses better so that they get through the grades and turn into top horses.
If you could go back and talk to your former self at the start of your breeding program, what advice would you give?
Don't do it.
Or to put it a different way, what do you wish you knew at the start of the breeding program that you know now?
If I go back again, I would be a lot more selective with our mares. I wouldn't have just bred horses for the sake of breeding foals. we would have spent more time starting with better mares that weren't good because someone else had said they were good, or they were good on paper supposedly because they had good temperament and they could jump.
Daniel took us on quite a scenic ride following a road called Gentle Annie Road. It's nothing like gentle, but it's really quite spectacular. We went east to something called the Hawke's Bay area, which is famous for its vineyards. In Hawke's Bay, we met with Ike Baker, with his parents, Lara and Sven, and spent the evening and night at their beautiful estate, Glen Arras. Aside from breeding, Ike has a number of other skills. He has a master in animal science, he's a young rider, he plays rugby, and as if that was not enough, he's also a DJ on whatever spare time he has.
Before coming out to New Zealand, Ewan had been speaking very positively about this young Ike Baker and the potential that he had for the future of the industry. And I think from the short time that we got to spend with Ike, it was clear to us why Ewan held him in such high regard. He's an exceptionally capable young man, and I'm delighted that next spring he's going to be spending a few weeks in Ireland and in mainland Europe. And I look forward to catching up with him much more when he makes it here.
For the purpose of the recording, can you please give us your own name, your business or farm name, and your location?
My name is Ike Baker, and we are on Glen Arras Stables, and we are in Hastings in Hawke's Bay.
What is the main goal within your breeding program?
The main goal is to produce horses up to that Grand Prix level, and the benchmark young horse classes that have been developed here in New Zealand.
And with you as the rider?
And with me as the rider, ideally, yeah. But any horse produced, whether it goes on to a different rider, I would love the same outcome as well.
If you could change one thing about the sport horse industry in New Zealand, what would that be and why?
I would love to change the connectivity between our communities and all over the country, and we've sort of started doing that now these last few days, but get everyone talking and working together a little bit more, discussing the issues we've got, working together to solve them, rather than everyone sort of working independently on their successful breeding programs, but working together and coming up with new ideas and new schemes and making things happen, putting those things into action. These people have brilliant ideas and they think of great things and all this knowledge, but they work together and put it into action.
And remind me, how many years is it since you started breeding, since you bred your very first foal?
About 8 years. 8 years now since Perfect. The first one.
So if you could go back and talk to your former self at the start of your breeding program, what advice would you give yourself? Or, to put it another way, what do you wish you knew then that you know now?
Back then, I wish I knew a lot more about the performance and genetics. And back then, I was looking more at character, the character of the stallion and the mare. I would know the stallion, and I obviously knew the mare, and that's where I'd kind of started with the breeding, you know, producing a nice, rideable horse with good temperament. Whereas now, that's obviously still a goal and an objective that still plays a part in producing a horse, but a lot more now in focusing on that performance of that stallion, being picky and making that right cross that brings the right traits to that mare, and having a proven mare and actually knowing a little bit more about that mare's performance rather than just her temperament. Back then, yeah, that's what I tell myself to get on board with and start learning a lot more back in earlier.
And I think what's particularly relevant in this recording for those listening is, could you just remind us how old you are?
I'm 21 years old.
So I think you have a great chance starting so young, because it is a slow and long game, but to be at the stage that you're at the age that you're at, I think you have a massive chance and a massive future in this.
Another stud in the Hawke's Bay area is how Puri Sport Horses, run by Warwick and Juliet Hanson with daughter Birdie and Helen Kippen. Warwick is a former show jumper and his daughter Birdie currently compete on World Cup level. We went to see them after our stay with Ike and his family. Haupuri is beautifully set on the coastline of New Zealand. In Haupuri, the Hanson family focuses on French bloodlines and have done so for years. Later that same day, we went south to East Coast Performance Horses, run by Nikki Booth with parents Jenny and Craig and partner Sam. They focus on primarily Dutch dam lines and some German, but especially the Dutch mare family Carla, where the mare Picarla, who is a maternal sister of the famous stallion Mr. Blue, would be their foundation mare.
For the purpose of the recording, can you please give us your own name, your business or farm name, and your location?
My name is Nikki Booth. I'm from East Coast Performance Horses, which is half an hour east of Masterton in the North Island.
Who does your team consist of at the moment?
My team consists of myself and my parents, Craig and Jenny, and my partner, Sam.
What is the main goal within your breeding program?
The main goal of our breeding program would be to breed something that would go to a World Championships or the Olympic Games.
If you could change one thing about the sport horse industry in New Zealand, what would that be and why?
That would be support and a pathway for our New Zealand bred horses into the international arena with help from ESNZ.
Okay, and what do you think that would look like?
A robust pathway with guidelines and riders and marketing and resources that would help all the breeders get to the end goal.
And finally, if you could go back and talk to your former self at the very start of your breeding program here, what advice would you give? Or from what you know now, what do you wish you knew when you were all starting out in your breeding program here?
I would say to myself, go and get the best mares that you can possibly get and surround yourself with the best genetics available to you, whether it be horses from New Zealand or abroad.
One of the unfortunate things that myself and Emma share is that we both suffer from car sickness. So it was always a question getting into each car, who was going to go in the front and who was going to go in the back. And it resulted in me having a few very necessary naps in the back of the car. So in the late morning before we left the booths, they kindly arranged for us to go on a jet boat ride on the local river with their neighbour, Len, which thankfully didn't trigger my motion sickness, but I think tested Emma. And it was an incredible experience where they took us down the river, out to the river mouth, which met the sea and back in. Those of you who follow either of us on social media will see what's fondly referred to as a Hamilton turn in action there.
And it was actually those turns that challenged me. Yeah, those turns. Speed was just nice, but being tossed around, yeah, that was a bit more than my stomach could cope with, yeah.
Once the boots had sufficiently shaken us up and gotten the adrenaline running, they then handed us over to local breeder Vic Martin.
Vic Martin, yes, from Longspring Sport Horses. She picked us up and drove us all the way to Wellington in the very south of the North Island. And Wellington, as you might know, is the capital of New Zealand. And during that drive, we learned a lot of New Zealand sport horse breeding history. I think it was very useful to add to our experience of what is sport horse breeding in New Zealand today.
I think it just reinforced our belief on how well thought out the whole itinerary was, because through the various different steps along the way, each person in their own way was filling in the gaps on the history of the sport horse industry in New Zealand, and a lot of it we would have never been aware of before going to New Zealand.
From Wellington, we took a domestic flight all the way down to the very south end of the South Island of New Zealand to a town called Invercargill. We met up with breeder Amanda Tullock, who runs Hukunui Sport Horses close to the township of Gore, which is a short drive northeast of Invercargill. Amanda breeds both show jumpers with European bloodlines and also coloured horses.
I think that was another thing that maybe Emma learned about me on this trip, was my fixation on horses with unusual markings, belly splashes, skew balls. So I was naturally in my element.
From Hokonui Sport Horses, Amanda then took us further northeast to meet and stay with Abby Hoare and her husband Richard at Beaumont Station. Abby runs Beaumont Station Sport Horses, and Beaumont Station is a beautifully set, huge farm, one of New Zealand's biggest. How big was it, Michael?
70,000 acres.
Yeah.
I think that was another thing that amused me, because you would be at these places. Obviously, that was the largest farm by a long shot that we visited on our time in New Zealand. But when somebody has 70,000 acres and then they ask you if you have a farm at home and what size it is, I think you slowly mutter under your breath, because we have a 95-acre farm at home, which obviously I'm very grateful to have. But when somebody has just said that they have 70,000 acres, it's hard not to compare. And it feels like what we have is a garden.
Yeah, so we actually learned a new word during our New Zealand trip. And I think that at least my farm at home here would in New Zealand be called a lifestyle block. That evening, Abby had arranged a barbecue with some more breeders coming to meet. There were Karen and Robert White, John and Katrine Price, and Janine Maxwell. It was a very interesting evening, with discussions about tools for breeders, such as linear scoring and breeding values. We discussed similarities and differences between breeding show jumpers and standard bred trotters, to mention some of the topics. And then in the middle of everything, everyone just stopped and we went to watch the Melbourne Cup on TV.
In terms of the sport horse breeding program at Beaumont, it was slightly different than what we had experienced before, because of the history of the farm, where a lot of working horses would be used even up until today, which is something that we don't necessarily experience in a lot of farms throughout Europe. When the animals have been brought in from the furthest part of their farm, a lot of the farm workers actually go out on horseback, so it takes them up to a week to bring the animals in from the furthest part of the farm. Abby's husband Richard actually has a helicopter license and will go out and back up those on horseback using the helicopter in case they have missed any animals, which will just give you an indication of the scale at which they're operating. But because those horses are still being used in a work capacity on the farm, the breeding program maybe goes in two ways. There's a performance element, because Abby and Richard's daughters in particular are ambitious young riders. They're trying to breed some horses that are more performance orientated, but they're still trying to focus on the traits necessary to be suitable working horses.
For the purpose of the recording, can you please give us your own name, your farm name, and your location?
So I'm Abby Hoare from Beaumont Station, and we're in Miller's Flat in Central Otago.
I think what would be interesting for a lot of the international listeners, could you just give us an idea of the size and scale of your farm? Because it's something, I think, very unique to New Zealand.
So we're a high country station, and we are 28,000 hectares, which is 70-odd thousand acres. So we're kind of described as long and skinny. It's 35 k's from the Clutha River to our back boundary, which is Lake Onslow.
It's sheep, beef, and horses, is that correct?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Within your sport horse breeding program, what is the main goal, or what's the ultimate breeding goal?
I think on a personal note, our goal would be to produce several Grand Prix horses and yeah, we basically want to have them for our own use. Our daughters both ride, so, and yeah, that's where our interest has come about. Initially, our horses were bred for the station use and for, as a working horse. But yeah, as our family have become more interested in show jumping, it's led us down the track to try and produce a better quality show jumper.
If you could change one thing about the sport horse industry in New Zealand, what would that be and why?
Probably just to get New Zealand horses promoted a little bit more internationally. In terms of their bloodlines, I think we need to improve on that as breeders in New Zealand. And it's become pretty obvious that, yeah, our registration side of things needs to be looked at a little bit better and improved.
And then finally, if you could go back and talk to your former self at the very start of your breeding program, what advice would you give yourself? Or is there anything that you wish you knew when you were starting breeding that you know now?
Having the horses registered is really important because it gives you, yeah, so it gives you traceability. And then if you are doing your international sales, then obviously people want to know the history and the traceability side of it. So, yeah, I think that's really important.
After the nice evening at Bowman Station, we were treated to some hours in the adventure capital of New Zealand, Queenstown. Then we flew out of Queenstown the next day to Christchurch, where we met up with Penny and Mike Tupley to watch some of their mares and young stock. And Penny, as Michael mentioned before, has been co-organizing the tour with Ewan, and especially the visits on the South Island. Penny and Mike would have been one of the smaller breeders we've met in terms of numbers of mare, but they had some really interesting brood mares and young horses coming up. We then went on to the National Equestrian Centre, Christchurch, where we first met up with Paula Pip-Fuchs, who run Golden Grove Stud Farm. The Fuchs have been breeding show jumpers in New Zealand for many years now, and they have several stallions standing at stud in addition to their own breeding programme.
Our meeting with Paul and Pip was the last of the individual breeder meetings, and then it was on to the second and final of our breeder talks. This talk was maybe a bit more formal than the talk at Ewan's. Both myself and Emma gave presentations. There was approximately 45 breeders in attendance, in addition to representatives from Equestrian Sport New Zealand. Equestrian Sport New Zealand was represented by their chair, Linda Clark, and their CEO, Julian Bowden. And I think it was a great opportunity, not just for us, but it was also, I think, very important for the other breeders in attendance that they saw that their national federation was taking breeding very seriously.
Yes.
What was also significant was when we finished the talk, Equestrian Sport New Zealand's CEO, Julian, was given a few minutes to speak to those in attendance and give his thoughts. And to hear him saying that he had taken 12 pages of notes throughout the talk and how much that he got from it and all the thoughts that were going on in his head, I think that was really great to hear that they didn't just turn up as an obligation for Ewan or for Penny. They were very intent, I think, on something coming out of it.
At this event, we also presented our conclusions from the trip based on the input from all the breeders we met and on our own observations. There was a number of common themes that came up during our meetings with the breeders during the trip. One of those was the necessity of a national horse registry and how important it is to register your horses, to microchip and to verify their pedigree by DNA testing. Because that's the base of all breeding, to know what animals you breed from and their pedigree, right?
In the initial calls with Ewan, I think that was one of the things that surprised me the most was when he mentioned that it was very common for people to not have registered their horses and have DNA verification. And I guess that was something that we tried to stress the importance of on each of the breeders' visits that we did, but also at the breeders' talks, that if they want to get really serious about putting structures in place around their industry and building an internationally credible industry, that has to be a given that every horse is microchipped and has its pedigree DNA verified. Another theme that came up in a lot of the places that we visited was the need to improve young horse production in the country. And there were a number of issues that were interlinked on this. There was a feeling that there maybe wasn't enough young horse producers available, that some of the classes that young horses were currently competing in needed to be more tailored towards maybe a more suitable pathway for young horses rather than them having to compete in open classes that were built for other horses. And then the other element of that was a need to improve the surfaces and facilities that these horses were being produced in, because Takapoto is an exceptional facility, but realistically, there's probably a need for several high-end facilities throughout New Zealand. I suppose I was surprised at the amount of hours that people were spending to travel to good shows.
Yes, we can take an example. I don't think when we say travel distance to shows, in Sweden is a very long country. People can drive 4 hours to get to a good show, but Amanda Tolok mentioned she would take 3 days to get to one of the shows in the North Island each time, 3 days one way. And that tells you a bit about the distances we're talking about here.
One important area that needs addressing in New Zealand, and I think the trip was maybe the catalyst for, was to engage and to recognize breeders in the picture. What we heard from various people that we were either staying with or the likes of Ewan and Penny who were organizing the trip was that this sort of a coming together of breeders was not normal for New Zealand. Typically, breeders don't come together. A few people might meet each other at shows, but there's not these opportunities for breeders to come together and meet each other and share ideas and, you know, ask questions and be educated. So I'm really glad that we were part of that process. And what's great is that within days of us getting back home, Ewan was already thinking about how he could organize the next barbecue and the next event. And from our conversations with Equestrian Sport New Zealand, that was something that Julian would have mentioned to the CEO, that maybe we have to look at other events that are happening throughout the industry that they could also use as opportunities to bring breeders together. While we don't have time to go through all of our conclusions or observations or suggestions that were presented to the group and to Equestrian Sport New Zealand, just maybe one of the final things that we'll touch on for now is the marketing piece. What we would have tried to explain to the people in attendance is that it's not all about what's wrong in New Zealand or what needs developing or improving, that they have some incredible resources available to them and that really they just need to come together and package that or market that and communicate that to the world.
Yes, I would just like to say to everyone who has ever wanted to go to a fairy tale country, have some nice wine, look at some beautifully produced horses that have grown up on the best countryside available and who perhaps also want some adventure in their life, go to New Zealand. It's an amazing country with beautiful horses and very nice people.
We've covered a lot and we've heard from a lot of different people throughout this episode. I would like to know from you, Emma, what advice, if you had to summarize, what advice would you offer to the breeders of New Zealand?
I think you should be proud of what you have and show the world what you have, because you have so many assets within that beautiful country of yours. especially when it comes to rearing horses outside on the rolling hills of New Zealand, and you have all the genetics of the rest of the world already. So just show the world what you have, and the world will come to you.
If you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes, why not send it to a friend or share it on your social media?